Welcome to Amplifying Leadership, a podcast where we talk leadership and all that it is with our guests, our wins, and our challenges. My name is Tara Lehman, and I'm a partner coaching consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. We support our leaders through this podcast, tools, community, and more. To learn more about us and our Amplifying Leadership division, please visit amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Ashley Russo, a leadership expert, inspirational speaker, serial entrepreneur, five-time Emmy Award-winning executive producer, writer, and also a media consultant. Wow, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Tara. Great to be here.
Sounds like you've had quite a background. So why don't we start by letting you introduce yourself and a bit of your leadership story to our audience today?
Absolutely. Well, honestly, I think I was born with some leadership skills, but also learned through osmosis and opportunity. And I would say that because I was one of those little kids that always had a game I was organizing on the playground, a pretend business I was running with the neighborhood kids, a real business I was running with friends in middle school. I just always had a natural curiosity. I like to lead. I like to organize groups. I love to find positive outcomes. And I don't know that I could have put those words to it back then, but certainly looking back, I can do that now. And I found myself really loving and being my curiosity turning into a love of storytelling. So I went to college for broadcast journalism and worked in that world, in the news world, for a few years. And then I would just say, wanting to be an entrepreneur, went out there to work for myself, and one thing has led to another. So here I am now, 25 years later, with a production company and a dozen employees. It's just been a great journey.
That's awesome. And it's funny, I have to go back to something you talked about. You know, you create these little businesses when you're kids. My sister and our friends used to paint rocks, which has now been quite popular lately, and sell them. And we'd be like 8 or 9, and people would give us a quarter or 5 cents or whatever.
Well, Tara, I had a similar business. I sold those very little wooden boxes that you could buy at the dollar store when we were kids. They were that very thin wood. And we would paint, I would paint those and I would sell them and actually give the money to charity. And so it was very connected to the work that I do now. And so I think nonprofits have always been a big part of my family and a part of what I do, but same thing, painting those little wooden boxes in the winter to sell in the summer.
It's true entrepreneurship right there.
Exactly.
So before we get started into our leadership topic of habits today, why don't you tell us maybe a couple of the obstacles that you've had to overcome on your journey to leadership?
Well, I would say my number one obstacle is always myself. I think that I am a recovering perfectionist. I am someone who wants to do things as well as I can, but also quickly and efficiently. I love efficiencies. I love processes. I like knowing we're doing something not just well, but in the best possible manner. So for example, I like to get places the direct route rather than the country road. And as I've gotten older, I've of course tried to learn to slow down a little bit, to allow life to happen sometimes, not force everything so quickly. Mm-hmm. So I would say I have been my biggest obstacle has been myself, truly. And so I've spent a lot of time working on myself. I work with a business coach. I bring that person into my teams. I get 360 reviews, which is a really honest look at who you are and what you bring to the table. And that's not always positive. So I think you have to be really aware of your strengths, but just as aware of what we call our blind spots. So things where you need people to fill in for you. So I would say that was a big obstacle for me. And then I would say another one was mastering prioritization. So not wanting, you can't get everything done at the same time. That is not something I've struggled with in the last decade, but it was certainly something early on, and learning what to do in what order for maximum results. So those are some internal things that I've gone through. And I have to say, I didn't have a lot of external obstacles. I really can't say that that was a major issue for me. I think that I would put my mind to something, connect myself to the right people, ask a lot of questions, and be pointed in a direction, and then say yes to opportunity. Every opportunity doesn't work out, but I do think that there's a lot of power, especially if you're younger in your career or you're pivoting to something new, in saying yes and taking opportunities. You never know when that thing or skill or person will circle back into your life. And that's happened to me countless times. So I've been fortunate to really be able to plow ahead.
Yes. And I love that you bring up self-reflection, because a lot of times if I ask that question of my clients, like, is there anything or anybody holding you back? It's always yourself, right? Like that's the number one answer you get. And to talk about being that perfectionist is also something that's very, very common, and it can be difficult to overcome. And accepting those that mistakes or that perfect doesn't need to be perfect, right? It's about continually improving.
Absolutely. You have to kind of get out of your own way and bring other people into your life and into your circle to help that journey go smoothly, and realize that everyone has different strengths. When you start to surround yourself with people who play to your strengths and you complement theirs, your just opportunity to be successful elevates so quickly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I want to come to our our topic today, which is habits around leadership and why this is so important. So a lot of people understand habits at home, you know, like even a habit of just brushing your teeth every day or having lunch every day. These types of things are habits, things that you do maybe without thinking. What are your thoughts on the topic of habits around leadership? I'm curious about that because we normally hear it about life.
Tara, I have to tell you, I love this topic because I am a major advocate of building habits. And I think when you mentioned something like brushing your teeth, the first piece of that is to understand that we already have habits in our life. I think often we resist the concept of building a habit around something that maybe we're not excited about, or we weren't taught to do, or we haven't practiced. But if we can first realize that something like brushing your teeth or putting your shoes on or eating breakfast, those are all habits. You read to your books to your children at night, or maybe you read at night before you go to bed. So first recognize what habits are already in your life. That way you realize that you have habits, you're good at certain habits, and you're capable of building more habits.
Love it.
There's a book, Atomic Habits.
It
was
book.
My favorite book. All of my managers have read it. All of my leaders have read it. It's something we talk about a lot. If you haven't read it, I really suggest that you do out there. But
Me
what
too.
It starts with is the concept that you do not wake up in the morning and go and run a marathon. No one does that. It's an impossibility. But you might wake up and put your shoes, your sneakers at the end of the bed so that it's a visual reminder in the morning. Oh, I'm going to walk or I'm going to run today. And so you start building little habits that create something big in the long run. And the marathon is a great analogy. So I try to say to myself, what habits do I want to build to support where I want to be or how I want to feel? For me, building in my personal habits is a really important part of leadership. I really believe you have to walk the talk. You have to model the behavior for yourself, for your children, for your employees, for anyone around you. So my workouts are built into my calendar. So 4 days a week,
good for
they're
you.
Built in. It's an alarm. I don't like it. I'm not going to lie. I am not one of these people that's always like, oh, I can't wait for that HIIT class. I can't wait to run today. Never.
No.
I always know I feel better after. So I think building habits around that helps me be a better version of myself. And really creating in the leadership space, both of my teams, I run a couple of businesses, but we've developed habits around meetings. So not unnecessary meetings, but meetings that have a purpose. They might be 15 minutes. They might be 30 minutes. They might be once a week. They might be once a month, but they become something standard in our calendar that everyone can rely on and know that that space is there for discussion, for growth. But if it isn't in the calendar and it's always let's meet about that. Well, you know, we should meet about that. Hey, we haven't met about that. A month could go by and you're not really driving any change if you're not having those meaningful conversations at set times. So I'm just a huge believer in habits and in how important they are for your life. Now, this is not to say we all have a day where you just don't want to do anything, right? You want to just watch Netflix, or you want to just paint or read or do something you enjoy and not have a schedule. I think that's super important too. And I would say building in free time is just as important as building in time that is something structured that you're trying to accomplish.
I 100% agree with and with scheduling too helps you keep appointments with yourself. I used to, and I still with my leadership clients, but when I used to be in my corporate life, I would tell the leaders, like, you need to schedule lunch. Because if you don't take lunch, you're not as effective. It's just a fact, right? Schedule 20 minutes, put it in your calendar.
It's really,
and make it a habit.
It is really a biggie for me because a lot of times I'll focus on this meeting, that meeting, and not paying attention. I will say, I work all over the place. My office is my bag and my laptop. So I do, you know, work in Pennsylvania with my production company. I work in Texas with my manufacturing company, and I'm on the go. So when I go somewhere purposefully, what helps for me is to have the habit of on a Sunday generally, picking up the things that I know that I will need so that I, you know, a protein bar, some apples, some carrot sticks, things like that. And I will pack a bag so I have something healthy throughout the day to eat. Otherwise, mm-hmm. I am one of those people that will forget and be really hangry at 3 o'clock.
No one wants that.
Nobody right? wants that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think scheduling those important key things for our own self-care as leaders, I think is a great habit. And I think once you do it for so long, like, you know, 12 o'clock became my lunch for half an hour. Yes, meetings get scheduled from corporate sometimes, right? So you have to move it. But that was the time I was going on lunch and everybody knew it, right? So let's talk about habits and leadership a little bit more and dig a little bit deeper into why you think we need to develop good habits as leaders so that we can lead by example. What are the benefits you're seeing?
Yeah. First of all, I really think that we need to look at leadership as a skill that you would develop like anything else. Mm-hmm. And we don't do anything once or twice, three times, and we're an expert. We have to do something habitually for yes. months, often years, right, to master it. And so I think as we are becoming leaders, and then once we are leaders, developing leaders, I found that transition is incredibly important where habits come into play. And that's why for us, having those regular meetings, having key accountabilities built in that we check in on them. I will say in our organizations, if something is falling apart, you know, two or three tiers down, the first question I ask myself is, what was my role in that as the leader of the organization? Where did something break down? And was it? And I will tell you, often it's because I didn't hold that person accountable because the meeting was canceled and I didn't follow up to have the meeting a different time. Yeah. I thought, oh, everything will be okay. We'll do it on text. And that just doesn't always work out. And it certainly doesn't model the behavior. So I think we have to look at leadership like any skill. If you want to get good at tennis, you're going to play a lot of tennis. If you want yeah. to get good at writing, the 10,000 hour rule, right? We're going to get, so you must practice leadership like a real skill and be deliberate about it. It's deliberate. It's being diligent and being self-aware. I know we started the conversation mm-hmm. with that, but I can't stress enough that if you are defensive about yourself and your, you know, personality skill sets, you are not going to be able to change and grow. And leadership is all about change and growth. So I think that that's really important.
It's all about continual improvement, isn't it? I mean, mm-hmm. you hear about it in business. We have to continually improve to develop and be innovative and make money, but it's all about your own continual improvement as well and making that a habit.
When you yeah. talk about continual improvement, one of the things that I've placed particular emphasis on is giving back to the community and having wellness initiatives. So we mm-hmm. do both of those things on a quarterly basis. We have an opportunity for people to volunteer, become it. Sometimes we collect something, we have contests around it. And then we do the same thing for wellness. So we just had a summer long walking contest. We divided nice. People randomly into teams from different departments, which encourage people to communicate across different departments, but also tracking their activity. And we just had a healthy lunch as a reward Woo-hoo. For the winning team. So those That's are awesome. Habits. And it's funny, I just talked to some other leaders recently and they said, oh, we should do stuff like that, but it's so much work. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? It really is so much work, but the work of leading and the work of culture is the most important work, because if the mm-hmm. culture isn't a place where people want to be, you don't have a workforce to do the work anyway. So yes. I place particular emphasis on those that are really personal goals, eating healthy, getting out and exercising, communicating with one another, creating opportunities for, you know, fellowship in the office. I think can often be overlooked because we're so focused on making the widget. And yes. I caution people against that. The habit of as a leader of creating constant improvement in your culture will really pay dividends in creating the widget.
I 100% agree. And I love that you brought up culture as even with habits and leadership and leading by example around it too, because without good cultures, as you said, you know, your employees aren't going to be there. They're not going to have a purpose. They're not going to care. They're going to come put the widget in the machine and leave, but not tell you that that machine needs fixed. Right. So developing great cultures is so important to leadership. And I'm so happy that you brought that up. Can you give us an example of a couple of maybe different habits that leaders can do to lead by example in order to help build those good cultures?
Absolutely. I would say, create some structure, which is a way of forming a habit around what you want to accomplish. As a, for instance, for us, we wanted to be celebrating birthdays. But we have quite a few employees and we didn't think that we could do that stop on a regular basis. And not to mention, to be honest, I didn't really want to be bringing lots of unhealthy things into our workspace regularly. So, so we created a food truck lunch. It's a party on our green. We have a little outdoor lawn area and we have a food truck that comes once a quarter and we announce everybody who had a birthday in that quarter. And we just do it as a little celebration or party. So for me, putting it on the schedule is what creates the habit. I think I would caution people against the, well, we'll get to that. Or when we do that down the road, you're kicking the can down the road. So for me, I'm always putting timelines on things and creating habits by having something happen regularly, because then it becomes something people can count on. And again, that really helps build the culture. So if you're going to have a walking club, for instance, that would be something that you pick 2 days a week at the exact same time that people are going to meet and you walk the exact same path, because now you're creating habit, and habit creates comfort and familiarity. And people tend to show up when they know what they're expecting. The fear of the unknown is probably the most significant fear that humans have, any unknown. But if you know how to do something and you do it a few times, it becomes habit. I'll tell you another example. I did a ropes course a few years ago on camera, up high in the sky. Wow. I hadn't done something like that. I was in my 40s. I hadn't done something like that since I was a kid. Well, I'll tell you, I got up there and I was scared to death. I didn't like the heights. So my vice president of production, who used to be a camera person and was a former gymnast in her youth, she climbed right up there. She got in front of me. She coached me all the way through.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we filmed it. And when I got to the end, the guy said, listen, you really should do this a second time, because it's that fear of the first time, of the unknown, is what made you anxious. And doing it the second time, I had an incredible sense of accomplishment and felt like I could do it again and do anything, because it was something that I was fearful of. And so I think that when you do something once, you feel good in the moment, but you aren't creating a habit that isn't creating culture and allowing people to start to feel comfortable and confident in the place that they work.
Yeah. And fear is a big piece that comes up in the workplace, and gossip and rumors create even bigger fears. So understanding how to quash that with good habits is important.
Well, one of the habits we have, since you mentioned that, Tara, I just want to mention one of the habits we have is we have a managers meeting every other week. And there's a meeting the managers have with their leads also every other week, the weeks in between. And we have written that the employees wrote themselves what we call hear and hear not behaviors. So behaviors we will accept and behaviors we do not. Are posted. They are read at every single meeting. We also rotate who leads the meeting. So it's not the same person every time. And so people learn how to get comfortable in the group. They read those behaviors. And just recently something came up where there was a conflict and someone was not using, they were recognizing hear not behaviors. And right away the manager brought up, okay, hold on, let's take a step back. Let's go back and read that list. Because that was happening. And it was amazing, like that, the whole room was able to turn with, oh my gosh, we just need to solve this issue. We don't need to worry about what this one said or how this one handled it. So I'm proud to say we've removed that almost entirely from the organization. And when it pops up, we have something to point to. Again, I didn't write it.
Yeah.
The leadership team didn't write it. The team wrote it. So everyone agreed to that. And that's another habit. We read that and we have set agendas for our meetings that, again, people can count on. And then they start to, people who may not have spoken up previously, 6 months in, all of a sudden they're willing to bring something forward. And I think that's because they can count on the way the meeting is run.
And I do absolutely love that you bring up the, I'll call it the code of conduct, the hear and the hear not, right? And I think it's important because so many companies forget to remind people what that code of conduct is. And then they just accept it. And now it's precedent. And it's just like they're swearing or there's whatever going on, right? But reminding them through habitual training. So maybe it's quarterly, maybe it's every other week, whatever that is doing those reminders with them and the feedback. Love that you get their feedback. That is so important to buy in, that they need to be the ones who help create it. Maybe the leaders have to be the final decision makers, but if they can be inputted and feedback, that's an amazing habit for leaders to have.
It's been very helpful.
I bet. So let me ask you this. If we have brand new leaders listening to us today and they're trying to figure out, oh my goodness, all these habits I'm going to have to create, where would you say that our new leaders should start? What is like one of those habits that if you're brand new to leadership, this is something you need to develop?
I would say, first of all, get someone like you Yeah. In their life. So
coach.
It's a coaching. I think I just can't express enough. I know generally she says it's expensive. It's one of those that the ROI is huge. So
it is.
I don't work for Tara. I'm just saying she's wonderful and there are lots of great coaches out there. But after that, I think take a look at how you manage your time. You know, mm-hmm. kind of like if sometimes you meet a nutritionist and they'll say, write down what you eat for 2 weeks. I would say write down to the 15 minutes, how you spend your time. Are you checking social media too often? Are you feeling overwhelmed because there's a project that doesn't play to your strengths that maybe someone else could be doing for you or with you? So I would look at your calendar and the way you manage time first. And then I would make some changes around that. Create habits and rules for yourself. So for example, I'm only going to check social media for 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the evening. And I'm not going to look at it during the day. Obviously, if that's your job, which often is the case in our production world, mm-hmm. that's a different story. But I'm talking about just scrolling for scrolling's sake. If you're taking phone calls that could have been emails and you're wasting 30 minutes on a call that could have been a 30-second email, take a look at that. Mm-hmm. I'm all for a phone call, but make sure you needed to have it. So manage your own time. Look at what habits you can create for yourself. Then you'll be equipped to start implementing things at work. And I would say the first thing is implement a regular meeting with your senior leadership team, whatever you call that. Have that meeting as a regular place and create a space where you are not dictating, you are not running, you're giving them a voice in a safe space. And then really be aware that once you do that, you can't squash those ideas and you can't kind of come down on people. So one piece I didn't mention is, I think leadership fundamentally requires an incredible amount of emotional intelligence. And the mm-hmm, reason I say yes. you need to start with yourself is you need to be aware of where are your pain points? What's a thing that gets you fired up? I mean, there are a couple things. I'm a passionate person, which means I'm super excited, but I can also get super mad. And I've had to erase that and really look at what's a thing that's going to send me into that zone quickly. And identify it. And once I could identify it, I know when it's happening, take a breath, take a step back, maybe walk outside and come at things with a solutions-minded focus versus upset at a situation. So start with yourself, build in some regular meetings with your leadership and really key into your emotional intelligence.
I love those. And I think even, you know, for seasoned leaders, having those one-on-one meetings with either your employees or whoever you report to, perhaps it's the board, are also really important. Key habits to have because you can gain that feedback on yourself as well. So I think that's important for seasoned leaders as well. Awesome.
Totally agree with you, Tara.
Yeah. So is there a key takeaway that you want to share? You've mentioned so many wonderful takeaways today. Is there something that if, you know, our audience remembers that one thing, what do you want them to remember?
I'd like them to remember to give yourself grace.
Yes.
Becoming and being a leader is really hard work. It takes strategy. It takes time. It takes rest. Give yourself grace. Allow yourself to have thinking time. Allow yourself to have rest time. Those around and under you most likely won't understand that, but you don't need to be concerned with that. Otherwise, you will be focused on the wrong thing. So focus on what you need to be a good leader. And that's different for everyone. But I think that that's the best way for you to truly grow as a person, because when you have the time and the space to think, to create, to strategize, you can really become and be a great leader for your team.
And that goes right. It's a perfect end to our conversation because it goes right back to what you said at the beginning. It's self-reflection and growth, right? I think that's a perfect.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Ashley, if people were more interested in learning more about you or what you do, is there a way that they can find you online?
Sure. Well, my website is Ashley, S as in Sam, Russo, RUSSO.com, or our company is ASRMediaProductions.com. We'd love to talk to anybody out there who's looking. Feel free to reach out anytime.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for a great conversation around habits today.
Thank you, Tara.
A big thank you to our listeners as well. We both hope that you're taking away some key points to help you grow on your leadership path. If you are a leader or someone who is looking to grow into leadership, who knows that support in developing your skills are the way to move forward, please feel free to check out all of our leadership services at amplifyingleadership.ca. Until next time, please be safe and be an amazing leader or leader to be.